Well, turn with me to Psalm 56 and verse 11. In God have I put my trust. I will not be afraid what man can do unto me. How true these words are, not only of the Christian in this world, but of the moment a man sets aside his fear of man and puts his trust in the Lord, when he becomes a Christian, that is. But you'll find this fear of man is a deciding matter, it's a key matter in the struggles of the soul and the issues of the heart. Let me mention to you something back, or it must be now, I don't know, but 20 years ago and more, I'm sure, back in the 90s. And I was a pastor of a small church in West Wales, in the town of Tregaron. Church planting work. I was there for 4 or 5 years or so in West Wales. Tregaron, in case you don't know, is in the middle of Wales. It's near Lampeter and not far from Aberystwyth. And it's right in the country. And the people of Tregaron are really quite different to the surrounds. There's very much an identity there. And you don't really belong to Tregaron unless you've been there for 3 or 4 generations. And even then, it's touch and go. You have to be right from the beginning to be truly a person of Tregaron. And people have been there all their life, are really like outsiders. Such is this strong identity of the town. Anyway, one of the ladies of Tregaron, when we were there in the 90s, said to one of our members, if you met somewhere out in the country, you know, we will come to you, but we can't come to your meetings in the square of Tregaron, because that's where we met. In the memorial hall in Tregaron, and they still meet there, the church. You see, she was afraid of the people of Tregaron, afraid that they might see her coming to the meetings and what might happen if they saw her. And the fear of Tregaron, or the fear of man, is a powerful thing in a small town, but also, of course, in a city. In a way, we have our circles, our families, our acquaintances, our colleagues in work, and we live in a town as well. And we can have that pressure, that environment around us as well, even in a city. Many are afraid of their environment and what might happen if they became a Christian. Well, let us then take these words of David here. In God have I put my trust. I will not be afraid what man can do unto me. David had just escaped the threats of Saul and now found himself in the midst of the Philistines. He had Saul on the one side, the Philistines on the other. No wonder he spoke of what man could do to him, because he was surrounded by threat and danger. So let us take these words of David and speak of our own matter, of not only coming to hear the gospel, as this woman at Tregaron I mentioned, but actually of believing, of trusting and following Jesus Christ, which is the end of it, of course. The hearing of it is one thing, but to believe, to identify with the people of God, and what that would do in a town, and how we would respond to the opinions of the town and so on. So let's think of those things this morning. Fearing or trusting is our theme this morning. And as we think of this question of hearing the gospel, trusting and following Christ, and what would be those things that man can do to us? There are a few we could mention. The one is the tongue. We're afraid of the tongue. The tongue is some weapon. The Bible describes the tongue as a fire. It's a fiery weapon, you could say. It's no doubt this woman of Tregaron was afraid of the tongues of Tregaron. Afraid in the first place of what they might say behind her back in the first place. And although she would not hear those words, you know, more often than not, they soon get back to you. Either somebody says what somebody has said to them and you hear what is said of you, or the very body language, the very looks in the faces of the people in the square or in the corner of the street. And you know something has changed. The atmosphere changes because people have been talking. And there are opinions, and this woman, no doubt, was afraid of the opinions of Tregaron, of this town. And not only was she afraid of what would be said behind her back, but also, I have no doubt, she would be afraid of what might be said to her face. It could be a clever aside, full of insinuation, full of intent. But she understood, perhaps, what was said, if that was the case. Or even fierce words from a strong character in the town. I remember my time in Tregaron. They said there were a number of bullies in Tregaron, and they would bully the town. And forceful, strong characters, no doubt afraid of these bullies, these strong people of the town. And even the words, in a way you could say nothing. They say, don't they, sticks and stones will hurt my bones, but you know, words cannot touch me, or some words to that effect. But it's not true, of course. Words, although they live for a moment, they stay on the heart, and they penetrate our very beings. And they can be traumatic, can't they? Not only upsetting, they can be traumatic. You can be quite intimidated by words. But also faces. No doubt this woman was also afraid of the faces of the people of Tregaron. If I can use this woman as an example. You see, with words, there's more to words than words. They carry opinions and feelings of those in the town. And much of this opinion and feeling shows in the face. The face of man speaks volumes. And so much is conveyed by the face and even the body language as well, as they say. There can be disapproval, disregard, mocking, the cold shoulder, hardness, hatred even, can't they? All shown in the face. The face can be hard. The face can be cold. The face can be disregarding of the person before them. And so, you can be afraid of the faces, and also afraid of meeting them. Perhaps there they are, this group, this influential group on the corner, and you're walking on the street, and you see them looking, and maybe you have to walk through them, and you're afraid. You're afraid of their faces, afraid of their company, afraid of meeting them. The Bible says in the book of Jeremiah, be not afraid of their faces. It recognizes that these things are factors in our lives, the tongues, and the faces of people. No doubt, in my mind, this woman at Tregaron would be afraid of the faces of the people of the town. And also of desertion. Afraid of being deserted by the town, of being a leper, of being ostracized and abandoned, maybe by her own family. It gets quite close then, doesn't it? The very house you live in, and the very people you go and visit. And there's a coldness, a distance that wasn't there before. And the people of the town as well, being ostracized, being sent into Coventry, as they used to say. Now we know in some countries that such desertions might carry threat to life, but not so in Tregaron, as we would know. Yet this desertion still has a power. And not to be accepted is something that would cause fear in the heart. And even though this person would know, things might settle down after a while, And yet, this person would know they would never be the same again. She would never be accepted again as before if she identified with the people of God, if she was saved by Jesus Christ, if Christ came into her very heart. She knows if Christ comes in, the people of Tregaron must fall away from me, and they will for sure. You see, Tregaron was a world, was a life, was the oxygen she breathed. And she faced losing her world, essentially. This was a threat, losing the world she was so comfortable in and so much part of. It was her very life that was at stake here if she went to the meeting in the square where we met. You see, in all these things, there's a fear of not being loved. People like to be liked, and they want to be loved. And it is one of the most powerful factors in this world, this desire to be loved and accepted. And Jesus Christ and the call of God to your heart brings all uncertainty to this world and brings you to a place where you might not be loved. You might not be liked by those who are around you. It's a great revolution, a great upheaval of life being presented to this woman of Tregaron. And then again, there's more. She would be afraid of deeds. You know, there's more to this than not being loved or the fear of the tongue or what have you. This opposition can carry over to action and deeds. Now, we're not speaking of violence yet. We will mention that in a moment. But just the underhand deed, which might deprive you of something which was yours and you were enjoying. It might be your family happiness and your inheritance even. And because you've become different and not part of the family as you once were, you could lose your inheritance. And those things, of course, do happen, don't they? And in the workplace, opportunities might pass you by. Another might be chosen. Or come to that, any sphere, you might lose opportunities. You would not be in the club anymore, the club of the world. And of course, for those who love the world, this is a powerful matter. For men who want the world, to possibly lose the world is quite a thought. They live for the world, and then, of course, Jesus Christ brings in the possibility that we might lose those very things we love. And to some extent, we'll lose some things for sure. But then what about what I mentioned just now, violence and death? Now, I'm sure this woman in Tregaron would not have feared violence or death, although Tregaron had a reputation, for sure. But she would not, in these times, have feared violence or death. But such things are not unheard of, you know. And it wasn't so long ago in our country when violence and death was very much a possibility for those who followed Jesus Christ. But of course, there are parts when violence and death are very real possibilities. Yes, even from the family. The family can turn against you, can bring violence, even death. Or those of the town or the government can come upon you just because you identified with Jesus Christ, just because you believed in Jesus Christ. But regardless of what country we live in and what is possible, you know, behind the face of that opposition, you know, this is the true nature of the world. It is violent in most countries that we are acquainted with, here at least, in the Western world, I mean. Then that is unlikely, but possible, of course. But it is what is behind their face. It is the world. Don't forget that the devil is a devil in all countries. The world is a world in all countries. Just depends on the circumstances. And I think, you know, this woman at Tregaron would sense that violence, would sense that murder in the heart of men and women, because they are the people of darkness. Tregaron is a town of darkness. And you come to the light of the kingdom of God, you go to the other side, and the darkness hates the light. And there is a sense of that even in our countries at this time. Indeed, you can be afraid of everything. As we bring together all these fears, and I'm not speaking here of a medical condition of anxiety, that is something quite different. When you can be afraid in your very constitution, I know that can be a real thing. But rather in speaking here of the gospel, and you can be afraid of everything, as if you were surrounded, like David here. See, when a man draws near Jesus Christ, there is a sense that he's ganged up upon by the world, the flesh, and the devil, or particularly the world and the devil. And there, it seems that, like with David here, surrounded, David with Saul on the one side, Philistines on the other, threats at home, threats abroad, threats in Jerusalem, threats in the land of the Philistines. And he was surrounded between the two. And it can be like that. When a man begins to take an interest in Jesus Christ, the devil comes against you and ambushes you and surrounds you with fears and can create a microclimate, you could say, around you, where there is just foreboding and darkness and clouds, a sense of threat. And it is, of course, a real threat too. Well, who would believe then? Who would believe? Who in Tregaron would ever believe with such an environment? Well, can I say to you this morning, my friend, this woman at Tregaron and you as well have every reason to believe. Just look at our text. And there we see David says, "In God have I put my trust. In God have I put my trust. I would not be afraid what man can do unto me." There's a contrast, God and man. In God I put my trust. I will not be afraid what man can do unto me. In the first place, there are some things we must mention. Trust in the soul over the body. The soul is the center of your being and my being. The soul will always be. This body and this life are passing, and so quickly passing. But my soul will always be. And my soul is me and the center of my being. And so there is an emphasis on the matters of the heart and the soul. Even though my body is in a town, my body moves around the world, yet in my body is a soul, and a soul which will live forever. And the word of God says, regarding the soul and the body, "Do not fear those who kill the body, but fear God who can destroy soul and body." And so there is that to remember, to fear God and not fear man. That we might mention, but also not just fear God, trust God. Trust in his eternity and his strength. He is almighty and infinite. And he knows those who trust in him. And he will own them and he will keep them. And God is greater than the span of your days and the events of your life. God is greater than Tregaron, I say to you. God is greater than Saul and the Philistines. It is the Lord. It is the Lord. And so somehow our hearts have to raise their eyes above the surroundings and look up to God and see who he is. Yes, to fear God and also trust in God. And there is good reason to trust, because our God calls us to safety in grace and mercy, but also in power and sovereignty and providence. Our God reigns over all. And these are facts which are important for you to consider as you are intimidated by the world and your surroundings, that God is sovereign and his providences rule over all. He reigns, he reigns. He is God. He's the God of the gospel and the God of his people. And when you seek the Lord, you enter that domain of God. You enter a strength, an eternal strength and purpose and sovereignty. You enter his providences. Oh, there are reasons to fear God, but also reasons to trust God. Trust in his control and purpose, for the one thing, he is mighty. He's mighty. and trust also in his love and his grace. When we trust and follow him, and we come to hear the gospel, we enter a different place to the world and the threatening environment of the world. We enter a domain where there is love and grace. And in this dark world, this gloomy world, here is true blessing. Here is the love of God. Here is the grace of God. And here we learn what God has done to save man. Yes, man in his sin should fear God. But man, seeking a Savior, should trust in God. Because God sent a Savior into this world. That's what he did, my friend. He sent a Savior into this world. It's a small statement, but a key statement. In this dark world, a Savior has come. In the Old Testament, he was promised. In the New Testament, he came. In our days of New Testament as well, you could say, in our days, then we look back upon this event and we know for sure that God sent a Savior into this world and he calls sinners to be saved from their sins. And this is the great plan of redemption of God. The great heart of God, you could say, the great heart of God going out to mankind, going out to those who are sinners and calling you to himself. He is mighty, he is gracious, he is loving. And even though you were surrounded by all the tongues and the faces of Tregaron, here is something different. God, how small Tregaron is, how great is the Lord. You know, we can see, can't we, from the perspective of Cardiff, how small Tregaron is. What is Tregaron? Yeah, Tregaron dominated Tregaron. But my friend, how small Cardiff is. Oh, the Lord. And when you enter and draw near to God, you enter into the domain of grace, an amazing grace, an abounding grace. You enter into love. And a love divine, all loves excelling. You enter into glory, light, blessing. Heavens, the glory of God, the God of heaven. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And you come towards the home for the souls of men, that they might know God and be saved. You also enter the strength of his word and his faithfulness and God's faithfulness in his person. You know, Tregaron is passing. Cardiff is passing. But the word of God is sure. Your life is so fragile. But his word and the promises of the word are so sure. They are as sure as God himself. And here is mighty strength for us to realize this morning. We can trust these gospel promises because they are as sure as God himself. So what we read in the word, we can trust and believe in because they are the strength of God and Almighty God. And the word, of course, promises to save and keep all who come. You shall be the Lord's people. Yes, you leave one town, but you enter the city of God. And the strongholds of God. And as the hymn says, great is thy faithfulness. My dear, dear friend, these things are true. For those who live in the environment of towns like Tregaron or a city like Cardiff, these things are so real to you and this is your environment. But they are so fickle, so frail, and they are passing. But here is God and his faithfulness. And those who come to Jesus Christ, he promises to save and to keep and to be a mighty defender. And indeed, Jesus Christ is the right hand of God with all power in heaven and earth. And do you know why he has this power over all heaven and earth? For the benefit of his people. We'll see this on Wednesday night. for the benefit of his people. He's exalted with great power over all things so that he can use his power for his people to keep them, to bless them, and to save them. And then when it comes down to it, in God have I put my trust. You must trust in his Son, the Father, the Son, and the Spirit, because the Son is so important to salvation. And it comes down to this. The Father says, look to the Son. The Spirit says, look to the Son. It is the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who saves. And this is where you come in the first place, through Christ, through God, but you come to Christ, and you must come to the Son. You must know who he is and what he has done. And Jesus Christ is blessing. He is blessing. And he contains in his person all blessings. And for those who come, they come as sinners, and he will take away their sins. What a mighty thing he did on Calvary. There he takes away our sins through dying in our place. That's what Christ did. That's why he came. He came to die on the cross of Calvary, to take away sin and to give righteousness. Oh, this salvation is so complete. You're surrounded by providence and strength, or you're surrounded by the salvation of God, washing you, dressing you, taking away your sin, placing righteousness over you, making you fit for God and for heaven, for this great celestial city of God. Just think of what he does, the power of God now, not only surrounding you, but also dealing with you. And as you believe in Christ, your sins are taken away, and Christ's righteousness, his obedience, his good works that satisfy God is placed on you. And the mess of your life and the troubles of your life, they all are gone in Christ. Christ will make you perfect in heaven. This is the mighty work of God. You have to believe me, my friend. This is the mighty work of God. Not just to defend you and take away your fears, but also to make you fit for God and to bring you into his favor. It is a great, thorough work. But also he gives you a home and gives you God. And you know, when we contrast Tregaron or Cardiff, well, let's stay with Tregaron. If we contrast Tregaron and God, knowing God, having God, doesn't it seem ridiculous that anybody should choose Tregaron instead of God? God, my friend, God. The God who is infinite, mighty, but also eternal. Everything, all in all. That's who God is. And when you become a Christian, yes, you lose Tregaron, but you gain God. You lose the city of destruction, but you gain the celestial city. And that is the gospel. It is right thinking, but only the Spirit can bring you to this place. Because such is the nature of darkness and of the world and of the devil. It can so bring a climate around your head that you can't see anything but disaster, but fear and trembling as you look at the faces of men. But if you trust in God, then indeed you shall break out of Tregaron. And you shall enter the blessing of God. Now, verse 3. When shall we do this? What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. These words are for you, my friend. When will you believe? You're afraid now. Your heart is full of fear now. Fear of the implications of believing. Then now, trust him. How can you conquer your fears? By your own strength? No, you cannot. These things are so much part of our humanity. You need the mighty power of God. And this trust, you know, is accompanied with the power of God. And when you trust in God, God joins you. When your soul is filled with faith in Christ, now is the time. When you are afraid, where time I'm afraid, I will trust in thee, it says there. Now is the time to trust. Now, to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's always now. Because life is so frail and so passing and is gone and is now. You could say it's now or never. It's a sense that is true. Now. Now, as your heart is afraid of the world, put your trust in the might of God and the strength of Jesus Christ. And this is the call of God from eternity, breaking into your life and your heart now. Oh, just think of what that means. God is speaking to you. In the midst of your situation, your family, your town, your life situations, your trials, God is breaking through and saying, come, come, now come. And that is what you must do. Respond. My dear friend, after the service, if I turned and spoke to you, you would probably turn towards me. And because I'm speaking to you. But think of this, God is speaking to you. And turn to him. Oh, the key moment. What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. And then you will know his strength, his grace, his love. You will know the blood of Christ taking away your sins. You'll be covered with a robe, a clean robe, flung around you, a robe of righteousness. And you shall indeed be a child of God, a citizen of heaven. What's it going to be then? Trigaron or heaven? Let us pray. Our Father and our God, we do ask for the clarity of spiritual thinking. Oh, our minds are so clouded and so dark. And, oh Lord, it seems we cannot break out of the gloom. But Lord, in thy mercy, we ask for that clarity and power that comes with the Holy Spirit, bringing Christ to the heart. And then through Christ to God, oh Lord, we ask, we might know that superabundance, that splendor and majesty of God in our hearts. And O Lord, thou wilt speak to us of mercy, of grace, of strength and power. And O Lord, we might prove it even now when we are afraid. Lord, we are all afraid. But Lord, in thee is salvation. Amen.